Hello and welcome to Talk Dance. My name is Justin Jones. I'm a Minneapolis-based choreographer and dancer and also the producer slash host of this podcast. Talk Dance is a sporadic series of podcast conversations exploring the Walker Arts Center's dance programming. For this episode, I spoke with Tragel Harrell, Cecilia Bengolea, Francois Chagnot, and Marlene Monteiro Freitas, the four co-creators and performers of Mimosa, / 20 Looks or Paris is Burning at the Judson Church, size medium. Over the past few weeks, I conducted separate interviews with each of them, asking them the same set of questions. I then edited their responses together. Mimosa will be at the Walker January 24th through the 26th and is the third week of Out There 2013, Reality, Identity, Myth. Thanks for listening. So, just to begin, could you say your name and what your role in this work was?
My name is Cecilia Bengolea, and actually we share, the four of us, the same role. We are choreographers and conceptors and dancers in the show, and we play, all of us, the role of Mimosa.
So, my name is Francois Chagnot. And with the three others, I created the show. We are four authors, and we all have equal responsibility in the authorship.
It's Marlene Monteiro Freitas, but my mother started calling me Mimosa when I was 10.
Tragel Harrell. I was I'm one of the four choreographers of the work, one of the four authors. I also perform in the work, and the work is a part of a larger concept and a series of mine called 20 Looks or Paris is Burning at the Judson Church.
Would you mind just saying the title of the work for me?
I might do a mistake if I say right now the full title. Because also the full title, it's it's more connected to the whole series that is a work from Tragel. But the name of this project is Mimosa.
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 There is a subtitle which is
20
Looks or Paris is Burning at the Judson Church, size medium. So the M of Mimosa stands for medium.
Could you briefly tell me where you live?
I live in Paris for 12 years now. I'm originally from Buenos Aires, Argentina.
I live on the road mostly now because my lifestyle is one of a touring performing artist, but I'm based in New York City.
I'm based in Paris, but as every dancers and choreographers, I'm traveling a lot. And yeah, I'm always away from home.
I live in Portugal, but I work mostly in France.
So how did you become involved in this project, and why were you interested in working on it?
The process to get into this group has been a little chaotic and complex, because I think first it started with a desire of Cecilia to make a solo.
Actually, I was in New York a couple of years ago, and I was looking for working in a kind of collaboration with a hip-hop choreographer and from Broadway musicals or like this kind of commercial work. And I was with Tragel in New York, and he was talking to me about this work that he's been developing since a couple of years, like this hypothetical encounter between Judson Church and the voguing scene. So he told me he could make a solo for me. And
I mean, the basic thing, I was working on the series, and then in the summer of 2008, I guess I met Cecilia, Francois, Marlene, because they were participants in the dancewear program at Impulse Tons.
We met, I met Tragel in Vienna, in Impulse Tons, a program that is called Dance Web. And me, François, and Cecilia, we were doing this program.
I was the mentor along with Didi Dorvillier, who's another choreographer from New York, and they were in the program. So I was their mentor. Then at a certain point, later in 2009, beginning 2010, Cecilia asked me if I would choreograph a solo for her for Avignon Festival. And I said yes. And as we began to talk, I said, well, I think this should be a part of my series. It should be the medium.
And then Cecilia thought that it was too poor to just be a solo, so she wanted to battle with Marlene.
I proposed Marlene, and then we proposed Franny to join, so it wouldn't be anymore about a solo made by Treasure for me, but for a horizontal way of collaborating and being all of us on the same page and responsibility for creating our own version of this situation, voguing and the Jackson Church meeting.
And why was this a project that you were interested in working on?
I was interested for many reasons. First, I think it was the starting point. Trajal was working about voguing and a fiction of the meeting of voguing and postmodern dance history.
Well, the question was for me, was this, I mean, I guess was the same question I was doing with the small and extra small, all the series, what would have happened is the same proposition that the 20 Look series is based on all the pieces share the same proposition. What would have happened in 1963 if someone from the voguing dance tradition had come downtown from Harlem to Greenwich Village to perform alongside the early postmoderns?
And I was especially interested in, discovering this voguing culture through my own and through our own, the four of us, background, and the four of us did receive either a contemporary or postmodern or academic dance education. None of us are voguers, or none of us come exclusively from that kind of context or popular dance or urban dances. So I was very much interested in discovering these cultures that I didn't really know.
But the thing was that I was interested to collaborate with him because we could each of us give our own version of this idea. It was not patronized by one person or directed or somehow. As I've been creating my own piece for quite a couple of years now, maybe 8 years or something, I was happy to work with him around this thing, but in a way that I could give my own idea about it.
That it shouldn't be a project where one or two are trying to push in one direction or another direction, but it was like how to build up an animal that had four heads.
But of course, another interest in doing Mimosa in this way with three other choreographers was because originally the way I had proposed this series to myself was there would be a string of solos, but that changed. And Mimosa was the first one that wasn't a solo, so it was a collaboration. And it was a collaboration, authorial a collaboration in terms of authorship. So I knew that the decision to do this was also a decision to kind of use this one as a way to get to the other side. Like I felt that the medium could be a place of for me artistically to kind of transform. It just gave me a perspective. Once you let go of something, you begin to see it in a different way because you see what you had, you know?
So how did the four of you collaborate to make the work?
There were very different stages. At first, we were very much willing to be all the time together. So we had two residencies, one in Paris and one in Vienna again. And we were trying to spend as much time as possible together, to have the same experiences, and to try to be in a common physical practice. In Paris, we had invited one of the French voguer, so he was teaching us classes, and then in Vienna, we were taking the whacking and voguing class from Artie Burnett, and we were trying to have the same schedule And then after this, the classes were trying in a very vague way, but very experimental, to reprocess and to re-inject all the things that we've been going through the classes.
In fact, we were supposed to spend a lot of time in the studio, but we had different problems of health or family problems or whatever. So I had to go to my house in Argentina for a month. I couldn't rehearse with the group, and Dragel also had to stay in Georgia. He couldn't come very much to the rehearsal. So each of us was working on these ideas on his or herself.
But eventually, I think that we used that as a way to go off on our own. I mean, to go off on our own and make these kind of pieces that you see, and then we kind of brought them back together to understand them, to look at them, and eventually to put them side by side in the piece, and to then kind of discover a kind of dramaturgical context for them.
And I think this is the strength of Mimosa. It's not that you can see that there is an idea of a vocabulary that we share, or there is a formal configuration that is trying to put things together or to make one thing pass through the other. It's just by staying in the track of each thing, each material has its own identity and intensity, and it's by sticking with it and putting one thing by the side of the other and just waiting for the clash between both of them, between the two of them. This is what makes the proposition of Mimosa, I think.
So the Harlem ball scene and Judson Church are almost 50 years behind us. Why is it important for us to keep thinking about them?
I don't know if it is. I mean, the balls are still going on. So, I mean, it's not that the balls stopped. I mean, what interests me is historical impossibilities, of course, and how through performance we can rethink history, and we can in a way, participate in historical invention in a certain type of way. So what's interesting is that these two histories haven't shared the same value in terms of how they've been brought to the contemporary dance or contemporary art world. It's only now that people have began to like see voguing in a certain type of way, and yet it had some fundamental important theoretical things to bring to the table. That's what I think is important. But of course, so did early postmodern dance, and of course those things are being absorbed and have been absorbed into contemporary dance.
Well, I think both the voguing and the Judson Church are pretty much alive in our practices, and also for real on the streets. I mean, I have many friends who are active in the vogue scene, and it's bigger than it was in its beginnings. And then on the Judson Church, of course, it's still alive in the dance of postmodern choreographers in America, which are still performing everywhere and are quite big, and they carry on with the values and the ideas of what was a quotidian body, like a worker, someone who could create art without spectacle, without make belief. All these kind of dance, it's everywhere.
And also, what was very much interesting is that those two culture, voguing and postmodern dance, started at the same moment in New York, but in different places of the city. But they had very, very different evolution in terms of institution, visibility, legitimacy, money, all those things. So it's this piece, it was a way also to question the path from the 60s to now, and how and why did those two two cultures had such a different destiny.
If we look at the advent of the 60s, they both were responding to certain things that were happening in their time. And of course, Judson was interested in democratizing dance to a certain degree. And I think that that voguing brings quite a critical response as well to our kind of, what does our democracy look like? How do people play certain social roles? So I think that by the very nature of those two kind of matrices, that they are kind of intertwined, and that's interesting.
I think the strength of Mimosa is that it brings up all these issues, yes, but in the choreographical point of view, it proposes something. It proposes another identity. You know, the stage is not the stage, the public is not the public. There is a borderline that is broken. There are things that cohabitate together that are profoundly contradictory and just heterogeneous and just trying a certain kind of plurality that is something that is from a choreographical point of view, from a form point of view, it proposes another identity.
So I'm curious about the costumes that you wear. How did you create them, and how does wearing a costume affect your performance?
I had black trousers in my suitcase when I came to the residency in France, and that's where I started working on Prince. Yeah, I had these boots, I had the black trousers. And I brought them to the studio.
I was working very specifically on a particular social role that I had in my mind, and I knew in a way that because the others were much more in a way out there and flamboyant than me in this piece, I thought it was interesting for me to be the kind of quote unquote straight man in the show. So. That was also a kind of inspiration for me. I felt it was important also because in a way I was the African-American in the piece. And I wanted to locate that in a kind of difference. I wanted to locate that difference, but I wanted to be in an expected signification, let's say.
We didn't hire any designers, so it was very, very experimental, I would say. And speaking for myself, the costume has been part for each act of the whole, identity or the whole realness that I was trying to reach. And it was something very interesting to me that I also saw in the voguing balls, that is, there is this desire of looking as real as possible. So there is nothing about irony or like second degree. It's trying to look as real as possible, but the construction of this realness doesn't necessarily has to be hidden. So it was interesting for me to approach this kind of transvestite character that is something that has been very, very seen in the contemporary dance or contemporary theater stages, but try to find through this realness and through this complete absence of irony or, second degree, to try to reach this specific physicality and texture and heaviness and concrete aspect of this transformation.
Well, in my case, I was in Argentina, so I know people who sew very well, and I went to them and I talked to them to construct these costumes that I, this costume that I wear that is completely in one piece, like beige, and you can see my face on something like that. I was very much inspired by Libo Worry and all these transformations of dimensions and proportions. So a friend gave me this like ballet and fetish shoes so I could include them in the costume. And yeah, it was kind of dreaming about the trafficking human silhouette and working on that to make it happen. And then, well, it's very direct in a way that the height and the effort and the risk that I have with those shoes and with not being able to see very much makes me move and be in a certain tension that I wanted for this our own version of the voguing, because in the voguing I see that, I see the risk, the tension, the excitement, the sharpness. So I just wanted to be in a situation would put me in a place that could be exciting and creative, but at the same time I like also this appearance of that maybe I might not win. So, and sometimes I assume I didn't win at all. So, because it demands so much effort to do the dance that I do in these shoes, but sometimes it comes from a state of spirit or a state of mind. Oh, so much effort in front of this public for what? Like, it's self-conscious, which is also real.
Could you talk briefly about the music? It seems so very essential to, you know, the statement of the show. How did you choose the music that you work with?
I think it was also by being together with the voguing people that I got to know so much music, and they are always showing each other clips and new music. So music comes from Baltimore, and the other one, it's a garage music, Salem, from the UK. So, no, this music, I knew it by a cousin who is a reggae dancehall singer, and the other one by people from the voguing. So I wanted to have very strong rhythms and like a material. The music, it seems like a landscape or something that goes in many directions.
It's true that the music and the sound has a big importance also, because the first thing when you come to a voguing ball, especially when you're like more used to contemporary theaters, is in a voguing ball, it's a lot of noise informations, a lot of music, a lot of commentating, a lot of screaming, a lot of interruptions, a lot of different sounds being played together. So there is a really intense sound experience.
I don't know. I was playing on certain social roles, again, of the rock star, of, you know, of emotion and feeling and image. And alcoholic is a very, it's a kind of rock anthem, but it's also has a lot of feeling in it. I thought it also was ironic and funny piece, you know? It's not academic, you know, we didn't reason through everything, you know, it was really a kind of aesthetic play on things. And for those things, it's often, you feel them, you know, you sense them, you feel the synchronicity or the synthesis. It's not there's no way to direct I don't have such clear reasonings for it, you know. It's just that I was looking for a song, I went to my music and I found this song, and I thought, okay, yeah, this rock star might sing this song. And you know, it was very, very simple, and yet at the same time, of course, it proposes certain complexities. I'm aware of that, but I can't pin down the complexities at all. or I didn't come up with the complexities and then try to look for the song.
The thing is that, for example, for me, like my first dance, when I work on it, I just, there was a moment that we were in the studio, me and François, and we were saying, oh my God, no, 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 no. What do we do? We were feeling quite lonely, and then I said, okay, let's take my computer and put my iTunes that has many musics, like different musics, in aleatorium. I don't know if random. And let's put it on, and wherever music come, we do a dance, or if we know how to sing it, we sing it. And we don't discuss, we don't judge it. We just do it. And that's how, somehow, for me, it was a way to just bring up the chance and the opposite choices coming together.
Can you define realness? What is realness and how do you embody it?
Maybe it's about real freedom, but not the idea of freedom, not performing freedom. It's about choices. It's not performativity of freedom. I'm speaking about something else.
Realness, I think it's a concept in the ballroom community and in the voguing ball. Which is it's through the intensity of the performance. I don't know how to explain it better, but it's how through the intensity of your performance, including the costume, the attitude, the posture of the body, the way you connect to the world, how you don't look fake.
In this case with the rock star that I'm playing, you know, in the beginning, I try to get as close and close. I mean, that's the work. I'm trying to really embody that. And although I know I'm not that, and I think everyone in the audience knows I'm not that, but the interest is in seeing the amount, how I work with realness and how close I can get, you know.
If I choose to fake it, but to fake it for real, then it will be real, of course.
Someone is real, it's because this person is very genuine. Because there is a lot of artifice, of course, in the construction of the voguing, of what it is.
And this realness, what is interesting is that it includes all the artificial means that you may need to use. It's this realness. Tragel was always opposing it to the authenticity from the Judson Church that was trying to get rid of all the theatrical tricks. While realness, to be real, you may use a lot of makeup, a lot of fake bra, a lot of costumes, a lot of a lot of accessories that's gonna make you be real. So this is this interesting situation where being real is not getting rid of all the cultural element and all the artifices. I don't know if you say like this, but all the but being real is using everything you may use, from hormones to costumes to heels to fake dick to pass as what you want to pass as.
I think I'm quite real. Because I'm connected to what's going on, to the present, to be aware of looking at people, to see them, to be aware of being seen.
It's just being on top of the moment. That's realness.
So my last question is, who is Mimosa?
Me.
The one who is more happy about being Mimosa, I think.
It's a fictional identity that we all kind of compete for the truth. Who is the true? Who is the real Mimosa? So it embodies a kind of question about realness and potentiality in terms of performance. And of course, the tension between all of us claiming to be the real Mimosa.
You just have to come to see the show.